Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Storyboards with S. Charcombe, brought to you by A Team of Voices. A Team of Voices is located on allpoetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. And I always like to say thank you to Kevin and his crew for keeping the site up and running and giving us a place to share our poetry. Also, a special thanks to AP Taylor for sponsoring the Blog Talk page. And of course, couldn't be done without Deborah Lee, who is in charge of running the group and the Blog Talk page, so we can geek out live. Every night of the week, we have different shows with different themes, different hosts. We have a lot of fun, from talk shows to game shows, poetry, like I said, different genres. Tonight we focus on A Boy Called Christmas. I know it is January, but we had a little bit of a debacle in December, and some of the shows were pushed, so this is the last show from that series, or that set, rather, for Storyboards in December. It is a film called A Boy Called Christmas, like I said. And it's a newer film. It was a book. I have not read it yet, and I usually try to read books before I watch films that are new or even old that I haven't seen. I have not gotten around to reading this one, although I want to, so I think it's going to be on my TBR list. So it's going to be fun to look forward to. We have some poetry tonight here for you. And, of course, as always, I have clips that are set up to play, and my computer is giving me a little bit of a run for my money. Oh, here we go. I can log into my phone to unmute some of our callers. I feel like I'm forgetting something, and oh, I am. That's why. The music that we opened with was from the film and the film score by Dario Marianelli. And he was born in Italy and studied piano and composition in Florence and London. After a year, he became a composer Guildhall School for Music. He took up 3-year postgraduate program in the National Film and Television School in London, in which he graduated in 1997. While there, he also undertook diverse projects composing for concerts, contemporary ballet, and theater productions. So I hope you liked that little bit of information about him. We also will be closing with the film score, a couple other songs from the film score. So, yep, we have our first caller. Hi, Rakentor, how are you?
I'm here. At least I think I am. I'm not sure where I am.
Well, for some reason, my computer is just thinking and thinking and thinking. It's not happy. Maybe I shut it down and try to see if I can start over again. But yeah, well, I'm glad you're here. Even though you might not know where you physically are, I think we can say that, you know, you're mentally here a little bit, maybe.
I'm in the blog verse. I'm right there with you.
The blog verse, good. And then we also have another caller. Hello, Hatter.
Hello. I was just following Rock around.
You know, that's not a bad idea, you know? Hello?
Oh, was that a question?
No, it was a statement.
No. It was a statement. It's not a bad idea. I mean, unless there's oncoming traffic in the area, I would maybe not advise that, but sure.
I grabbed the back of my shirt.
So I'm so excited. It's the last. I know it's so weird to be doing Christmas stuff at this time, but you guys know the deal about the stuff being postponed. And I'm so excited. I'm not gonna lie. I fell asleep right before the show. I'm so lucky that I woke up because I think I would have slept right through. So that's good. So if I seem a little fuzzy, it's because I fell asleep. Oh, Hatter dropped. All right, well, I did have one more song that I wanted to play in the opening, but I guess I'll just play two songs in the closing. Every time I switch pages back to tabs, it goes, I'm having a problem. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to restart my computer. We're just going to chat for a minute and then until I get my bearings together because this is not quite working. So how is it your beginning of the year? How's that going for you?
You know, it may be January, but we could still be thankful about Christmas. So, you know, it's not that unusual. Some people still have their trees up, I imagine. So, you know, it's not that odd still being doing Christmas stuff, you know. This is the geek equivalent of leaving the tree up until Easter. So, you know, we can cover the shows from December's debacle.
Yeah, I you know that I had my, I didn't even put up my Christmas tree last year, because not because I was bah humbug, but because I just had no room. But, you know, I took it down the day after Christmas this year, just because I was on vacation. I was like, now's a great time to do it. But I usually have it out. One year, I think I had it out, I really feel like, it was the end of March, and, like, it was, I think it was, like, April 1st, and I was like, I really need to put the tree down. Like, this is not right. But the kids kept on, you know, my godchildren, they were, every time I went to go take it down, they were like, oh, just leave it for a little bit longer. And I'm like, okay. But,
well,
yeah.
Rumor has it Wayne doesn't take down the mistletoe, so, you know.
Hey, I built the haunted houses. When I would change my house into the haunted houses every Halloween, one stayed up till all winter until St. Patrick's Day, and every year, I'm talking the part that was outside on by the pool and the garage, which is separated from the house. But every year after that, my wife made me promise what date it would be taken down if I built the next one. Okay,
well,
all right.
You put all that work into it, right? And then it goes away, and
yeah,
then you're like, oh.
It's pretty elaborate.
So, like,
yeah,
when I put the tree up, it was only, like, 2 weeks, I think, before Christmas this year, or like 3 weeks. And I was like, I did all that work, and now it's, you know, you got to give it a little bit. So it's kind of like, why did I even do that?
But, you know, it's almost like, you know, a larger version of Thanksgiving dinner. How long do you spend preparing it? And then, you know, everyone sits down, and like an hour later, it's like, what happened? Where did it go?
Well, yeah, that's true. Well, yeah. But actually, it wasn't 2 weeks because I had my – I didn't decorate it till – I had it up before Thanksgiving, and then I didn't decorate it till, like, the first – like, yeah, that's what happened. I'm like, I remember having it Thanksgiving. But honestly, I don't know about you. Like, I know my friend, she's like, I don't want Thanksgiving to – you know, I don't want the holidays to bleed into each other. I want to enjoy Thanksgiving, and then I want to enjoy Christmas for what it is. But to be honest with you, I really like having the Christmas tree up during Thanksgiving. And even if it's Thanksgiving dinner, I don't know. Like, that, to me, it seems more festive, like the holidays. Where are you on that spectrum, Rack? And I'm going to ask you too, Hatter, but I'm going to ask Rack and Tor, what do you think? Christmas tree Thanksgiving.
I don't think it's an interference kind of thing, because it's kind of two overlapping focus. You know, you're thankful. You know, Christmas is about being, you know, thankful, I think, also. So, you know, they overlap. Looking, seeing the tree there doesn't take away from eating my turkey leg, so I'm good. You know, so I might even find pieces of turkey in my stocking. So, who knows?
Okay. All right. I agree. I think it actually creates the mood even more personally, but some people don't like them to bleed in. What about you, Hatter? What do you think?
Well, tradition in our, well, my family was like a week after, like the first week into December, the tree would go up, and it would stay till after the first of the year. Thanksgiving once Thanksgiving hit, it was football. We had the playoffs, we had the bowl games, you know, all the way up to January 1st. That was back when it was a 10 game season. But, I can't remember it ever blending together, taking away. My family was big enough. My mom had to end up cooking two turkeys on Thanksgiving and Christmas. Five boys, and, you know, and who knows who else is going to show up. Let me ask you a question.
So,
when do you think it's too early? When do you think it's too early for Christmas commercials to start appearing?
Before Thanksgiving, I think like after Thanksgiving, it's fine. Like, I know I said I like the Christmas tree, but I don't think the Christmas tree necessarily means. Like, and if it's definitely in October, then I'm really upset. Like, you know, I don't know, November. Maybe not before Thanksgiving. So maybe November. November is fine. If they're doing it before Halloween, which I've seen, like, in stores, I go into stores and I see Christmas stuff before Halloween is done, I get really emotional about that.
Yep.
Like, I think after Halloween, it's a, like, games on if you really want. You know what I mean? I think
that's
November,
perfect,
if you...
Perfect answer.
November and December can be holidays. And then January, it's really kind of over. So I think it's okay to have 2 months for the holiday at season, you know, and have... And you can start listening to music in November, to Christmas music. That's fine. Because really, you can... I think it's okay to enjoy it for 2 months out of the year. But if you start playing music and start showing me Christmas stuff before Halloween is over, I get my feathers get a little bristled. I'm like, no, that's not okay.
So what's the earliest you can remember ever seeing a commercial Christmas commercial show up? What month?
So not commercial, because I don't watch too much. Like, I don't watch TV with commercials, really. I watch TV, but it's very, like, I'm a streamer. I stream things. But it's more in the stores. I see it in the stores earlier and earlier every year.
Before Halloween is too early. What do you think, Rack?
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be.
Halloween is like a thing unto itself, too, you know? That I think the holidays can kind of interfere with each other. You could dress up like a Christmas elf, but, you know, come on. If you're starting to, I don't know, talk about, you know, the tree and everything, and it's still October. There's no snow on the ground yet. Give me a break.
Yeah.
And then if it bleeds into January, I think, you know, February, you got to put it away. Like, the end of January, I think it should be put away. My first mother, when at her house, she always had the strict rule that I don't remember her putting up any strict rule, but I remember that before January 1st, the tree was always down because her dad died on Christmas Day, and her brother was born Christmas Day, like so many years later. So it was weird how his death correlated with his birth, with my brother's birth, but it was always her thing. She's like, the Christmas tree is down on before New Year's Day. And I think that was partially so my brother could have his birthday, and partially because her dad. I'm not, you know, I think it was a mixture of both. But in my birth mother's house, it was down. My godmother's house, who I spent, she half raised me. She is very into Christmas, so I don't remember there ever being a date. I just remember there being like, she would do take off. She wouldn't just have a tree. She would take off the shelves and put up, you know, the train track, and she put up like the village and all the tea lights.
Had
you know, she was very the window decals. She was very much all out.
Yeah, we were known as the decoration house. Any holiday, every holiday, I had to put lights and something up. But back in the day, Halloween was much much bigger. Today it's like you don't have the kids going not very many trick or treating in the track homes like back in the day. We didn't have so many parties, but there was more costume parties when you were like in high school and college. But I don't think it's as big a thing now. Some people think it's devil worshipping.
I
think like when after like COVID happened and after everybody like kind of went downshifted, I did see a message like in my town, we do trunk or treat, and that's a really big thing. And I think a lot of people have turned away from like going to house to house to house or letting their kids. I know it was really hard for me. Like even they're my godchildren. They're not even. I mean, for all kinds and purposes, they are like my children. But I remember the first year that we allowed them to go out by themselves, and it was nerve-wracking. And some people were like, oh, we'll let them live. I remember I was running out at that age by myself everywhere, but I don't know. And they were like, we have trackers on their phone. It's fine. Like, and one's a teenager and the other one, you know, was a little bit younger. But it was nerve-wracking. So I think a lot of people, at least in my town, have turned to the trunk or treat, which makes the houses get less. So really put a lot of time into decorating their houses. So I think that there is a thing to traditional. But I'm definitely helicopter, you know. I'm a helicopter. I want to walk to each house with them. It was nerve wracking to let the boys go out. We did though. We let them go out, but it was nerve wracking. So I think people run into that fear, that fear.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember me and my older brother. And eventually my littler brothers, we would, as soon as we were allowed to leave the house, we started, and we didn't stop running until, it was one night, there was really no curfew. Just as long as there was adults, there was people still on the street, we were allowed to be out there too. So it wasn't a street light go on and be home night. But we would, I remember taking a grocery bag, filling it up, and then coming back for another one, and then running back out. My big brother too.
Yeah, we had pillowcases. Well, when I used to live in the woods, like in a very wooded area when I was at some point, and I remember we used to have to drive to every house because we would go down to the center of town, but we would, but before we would get to the center of town, which they went all out in the town, we would have, we would, it was like woods house, you know, and then you have to run up like a 3-minute driveway to get to the and the parents just waited on, my parents just waited on the street, you know, and then we'd run up like this driveway that was crazy because it was I moved from the inner city to definitely a wooded area. It was a big change, but I think my favorite one was when we had lived in a trailer park because it was just row after row after row, you go hitting every trailer. But that was where I stopped trick-or-treating because I was 12 and I looked very – I'm sorry?
I've got Eminem Mars in my town, so when Halloween comes, they really go all out.
What's Eminem Mars?
What's my favorite? My favorite
the people that manufacture candy, M&M's and Mars bars and you know, the candy company?
Hey, the big size. There was no little ones. they didn't make many candy bars back in my day. You got the big ones.
Yeah,
you hit that out three
different
times.
Yeah. Then you get to the house
I got
of pizza.
I got a rock.
Well, now, here's a good question. I know we're talking Christmas here, but here's – and I'm going to play a clip pretty soon. And I've got Hatter's poem up. But here's another, you know, debatable question. So when is too old to trick-or-treat? And I'm going to start off by saying that when I was 12, I looked very old for my age. And I went out – I remember I was in – the sixth grade, and I went out, or maybe like I was going into the seventh, maybe. And it was in the seventh. I was early seventh, so seventh grade, but it had just started because it's October, right? So it was my, and then, no, it was sixth. It was sixth grade. Yeah, sorry to change my mind. It was definitely. what was it? I don't know. I think it was the seventh grade, and I went out. Final answer: seventh grade. And I went out with my friend who was also looked very old. He already had facial hair. But we were both in the seventh grade, and we just started the seventh grade. And we went out trick-or-treating, and we were yelled at by somebody. You guys are too old. You can't be trick-or-treating, blah, 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 because I looked probably like 16 when I was 12. I looked very old. And I remember that lady yelled at me so much, I never went out again. So I think it was 12 years old when I stopped trick-or-treating because somebody yelled at me.
My godson
was trick-or-treating at like 15, 16, and I'm thinking, and this is my opinion on the matter, I'm thinking, wouldn't you rather your kid go out and trick-or-treat than go out and then worry about them going out and partying, having that, you know, like, what are you doing? Like, let them live. As long as they're in
the world, rather than those are the eggers.
I gotta say too, I'm sure when you went out, you dressed up. The thing of it that you're talking about that makes it annoying is, you know, and it's not so much the age; it's that, you know, they don't even bother to put on a costume. They just show up with a bag, and you know, I'm coming home from school. It's like, yeah, you know, trick or treat. Where's my candy? You know, it's like, where's your costume? You know? Come on.
Well, my godson was 15, 16 and dressing up. That year, I was dressed up, but they might have not understood my dress up. I went as Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So
Well, you know what you say. There's a line for that,
right?
There's an answer for that. You just what you say is my little brother, my little sister's sick. I'm just getting candy for her.
But I don't think 12. That
but
person was just making assumptions. Do you know what I mean? Like that's 13. What you run into.
Yeah. You know what, Sky, that happened. The exact same thing happened to me. I showed up one door. I just put a cowboy hat on and a handkerchief and a cowboy shirt. You know, and the guy says, "You're a little old, aren't you?" And I tell you, that was it. That's all it took. Yeah, I was.
Yeah. And my
someone said that to me, I'd be like, well, then I'll take a beer instead of a candy bar.
Well, that's it. I started throwing eggs.
That's what I mean. Yeah, and my godson, he was so tall at like maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, he was
a big kid.
He's so tall, like. He's just turned 18 and he's 6'4". I feel like he was like 5'11", 6', even when he was, I want to say 15. Like he's so tall that even, so he's always dressed up. He's put makeup and a mask and he goes all out. He really loves Halloween. And, but even if he was that young, he's always been very tall. So even if they have a costume, how can you tell their age? If they're tall, you're assuming that they're old. But he's just tall and big. He's a big kid.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think you're right. I think I was in fifth. I think I was 13 years old, and that was too old.
Yeah. I don't think that's too old.
No, I'm agreeing.
You should just. Yeah. All right. Okay. We had lots of debates. All right. Susan, I'm gonna play the first. I mean, this great conversation. I love it. I'm going to play the first clip, and then we're going to play, and then we'll do your poem, Hatter. So, so the let me just give a little synopsis of this so that you guys go into the clips kind of understanding. This is kind of like an origin story of you know,
Christmas.
Santa Claus. Yeah, and there's this boy. And actually, the beginning does a really good job about explaining it. I don't think I have to explain any more than this is like an origin story. It was really good. It's a newer film, and I have watched it, and I fell in love with it. And I just watched it this year, and I didn't really have it in my lineup, but I'm like, I have to do this film because it was so sweet. And I am looking forward to reading the book. So I'm going to press play, and then you guys can enjoy, and then we'll drop Hatter's poem. Here you go.
Yes, I'm very aware of it.
I said I get one who has to listen.
Because the universe is made of stories, not atoms.
That's not actually true.
Well, it must be because I never lie. So, you listen to the story, after it you sleep, and then it will be Christmas.
But we don't want it to be Christmas.
Well, that decides the tale I'm telling tonight. So, are you all comfortable? You better be, because I'm starting. Now, you may find this hard to believe, but long ago, nobody knew about Christmas. At this time, in the middle of a forest in Finland, there lived an ordinary boy called Nicholas, along with his father, a humble woodcutter, who at the moment was quite preoccupied.
Be in the forest.
One crisis narrowly averted, Nicholas and his father returned to their cabin in the woods. Times were hard for father and son. They had barely enough to make ends meet.
Wait. Sorry to interrupt.
What is it?
Where's his mummy?
Well, she died. 2 years before. Yes, I'm afraid the bear had something to do with that.
Bear ate his mom. Got it.
Well, Finland was a very dangerous place in those days. Still is. But despite the hardships, Nicholas held on to hope, especially at bedtime.
You tell me the story, Papa.
Not again.
Why not?
It isn't my story to tell.
But Mama's not here anymore.
Okay, then. I'll tell you about our farm. A long time ago, in a place not unlike this one, lived a young girl named Lumi. One day, while gathering acorns in the woods, Lumi became hopelessly lost. She tried to find a home, but the more she searched, the farther from home she went. Over the river and under the moon, over the pointy mountains, all the way down past the...
Past the sleeping giants?
Past the sleeping giants, through the sky she walked to a place where snow was soft as clouds.
Then what happened?
Well, Lumi was near collapse when at last she stumbled upon a secret village called Elfhelm, where lived the elves, the happiest people in the world and the most magical place in the world. There Lumi stayed until the snow cleared, and she was finally able to return to her home in the south, her pockets full of chocolates.
You believe this story, don't you, Papa?
The ending's a stretch. The chocolate would have melted.
But the rest? The magic? And the elves?
I've never seen them.
But you believe in them?
Your mother did. And to her, believing was as good as knowing.
What was that?
It sounded like a squeak.
I think it was more of a creak.
Definitely a squeak.
Either way, that's an overreaction.
Out of the way, Nicholas. Ask me of the mouse.
Papa, leave it alone! Papa!
There's still our food!
What food?
Oh.
Don't breathe!
There he is!
We've got him!
Papa, please! Let him live! Please, Papa! I've thought about this a lot, and I've decided to call you Mika. And I'm going to teach you to talk. Boy. Boy. Mouse. Mouse. My mum always told me, if you believe you can do something, you're halfway there. Trees? Trees. Okay, maybe not halfway, but it's a start.
Oh. And then one day, something happens to light the long dark winter. A summons from the king himself. There were only two of them on the invitation, but Nicholas saw no harm in bringing along a plus one.
We're going to see the king, Mika. King.
Nicholas, the king's quest. I'm going to do it.
He's going away.
Not for long. 2 months.
2 months?
Maybe three. I'll be back before you know it. It'll be worth it.
To bring some new hopes to the world.
To claim the reward.
But isn't the reward bringing us new hope and wonder?
The reward is the money. And the money means food and warm clothes, so you can have a life.
The life I stood at your mother's graveside and promised you'd have. Nicholas, please. Nicholas!
Where will you go?
Anders is assembling a group. We'll be heading north, far north, to find Elfhelm.
Elfhelm?
If it exists.
It does, I know it does. You have to take me.
No, it's too dangerous. There'll be many nights sleeping out in the cold.
Fine, I love the cold.
Once you get north of Sepajärvi, there's nothing but ice plains and lakes and snow-covered fields.
Snow-covered fields are my favorite.
After that, the journey only gets harder, which is why no one's ever made it to the far
north. That's not why. It's because no one knows the way. The words in the story are totally vague, and you can barely remember them anyway. Please, Papa. I can help. I know I can. Please.
I set off at first light.
I'm going to find my father, Mika. Give him the map. But it's a long, dangerous journey to the far north, with a high risk of death. You don't have to come. Sometimes I'm glad you don't understand a word I say.
And so the two friends began their journey, away from misery and towards the great unknown, the far north.
Excellent. So just to give a little bit of a background, the children that she's speaking to, they call her auntie, and they had just lost their mother as well. So there's like a connection there. And it was their first Christmas without their mom. So it's really great. And Maggie Smith, I just love Maggie Smith. And when I saw that she was cast in it, I was like, oh, yeah, we're definitely watching that movie. Because my goddaughter and I, we go all in on Christmas movies because we make a list. Hatter. Yeah, like we actually made like a 2-page list of movies that we had to watch before Christmas. I think that's my favorite thing about it actually is doing that with her because we just get popcorn and we spend time and we do that. I know that I said I was going to put you down next, but Deb is going to call in and she has to read and run. Is that okay, Hatter? Are you okay with that?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, I knew somebody. I hung with a chick I met and became friends. She invited me up to her mother's that was out of town for Christmas. And on the way, she goes, "No, let me warn you. My mother lives with my grandmother, and they vomit Christmas when you walk in." And sure as hell, man, you walk in that house, it was nothing. Wall to wall, ceiling, every inch was just Christmas. So it was nice to see.
Yeah. I only put up my tree this year because I had just moved, so I didn't put up any other decorations because I didn't have any shelving up. I didn't have anything, but I have all my mom's decorations. So they're really old too and breakable. So they did not go up this year. Just the tree. All right, Deb, how are you?
I'm okay. How you doing?
Good, good. We have covered everything from Halloween to Thanksgiving to Christmas on the show so far.
Wow. Guys have been around, huh?
I think we just talked the whole first half an hour about different holidays and expectations and what we thought. I'm so glad you can make it. I think this is the one that you wrote for the show that was pulled down, I believe, right? Or is it an IOU?
So.
I don't know. I think it was. I think I moved it. All right, so I am ready when you are.
Awesome. Yeah, I went to the board to see what was up, and I saw that you had moved me over already. So, yeah. This is called Songs on the Winter Wind.
Is it up there yet?
Yeah, it's right above the picture.
Well, if you refresh, I put it again below the picture as well.
There it is.
Do you have a header?
I sure do.
I usually ask him too before anybody reads. Okay, Deb. Thank you for waiting.
I guess I just didn't think of it either. But okay, this is called Songs on the Winter Winds. And here we go. Laying on the pillow top bed, listening to the winter breeze at the little log cabin by the lake as the moon climbs over the trees. My eyes stare out the window glass, gazing at the shine over the waters. Then as ripples mark the surface, the opal moon reflection blurs. Wind parts the floating clouds. Now the starlight is glittering too, freckling the lake with the sparkle that dots silver onto the ebony view. On the outside of the window panes, two tall sentinel tree trunks stand, swinging like a couple dancers from the gusts blowing to land. The maple by the holly bush shakes trunks, rocks, and rolls sign, waving at the sycamore branches, flanking the lake's banks wooden line. And the whispering breeze that blows with all the gushes and whooshes, earth sings nighttime lullabies, tossing leaves and bushes and palms.
Beautiful. Absolutely. And yeah, I think what I did was I opened these up to any holiday or winter poem. I think that's what it was. And I did move it over. Your lines are completely symmetrical. which is impressive. And it's impressive because the lines don't seem forced, yet you were able to cut them down perfectly. I'm just looking at this. I don't know if anybody else is like awed by this flow. I don't know. It looks like mounds of snow. I thought this was wonderful, and I was trying to, as you were reading, I was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna say this is gonna be the line that I highlight that I'm gonna say is my favorite. But then you kept going, and I'm like, okay, maybe I'll just go from this line to this line, and then it's gonna be really hard for me. So bear with me. I really, really love the whole piece was beautiful. And once you got to, this was my first, okay, this is the one I'm going to say, was when you did, where was it? It was the ebony, freckling lake that sparkle and that silver, that dot silver onto the ebony view. I loved that image of that idea with the lake and then the dotting silver into the ebony view to just mark the sky. I thought that was brilliant and so beautifully written. And so I was like, this is the one I'm going to pick. But then you started going into the centennial tree trunks and using that metaphor. And I was like, oh, this is absolutely brilliant because she's bringing in the dance. But it was really the centennial, the sentinel trunks. But then you went even further when you said standing guard. So I was going to stop it there, but then I couldn't. So I really loved that. Of course, the personification, and then the idea of planking the lake. So I loved how you didn't leave that because that was my favorite metaphor in the piece. And the lake, the ebony lake, was definitely my favorite description, but my favorite metaphor was that. So I love that you kept up with it and you bled it into the penultimate stanza. I really, really love that. So then I was like, maybe I'll just highlight these three stanzas and these will be like, these are my favorite. But then you ended it really strong and I can't leave that out now. So I really loved when you spoke of the lullabies. My favorite line was in that stanza was a tossing leaves into bushes. And I don't know, there was movement. There was definitely movement in the piece. And when you're looking at a piece of poetry, you're looking at words. But if you could see things and feel things and then connect images to other situations, like with the Sentinel Guards, and then talking about and having the poem move with the tossing and the bushes. I just think it was absolutely brilliant. Really well done. I'm going to put this on my recommendation list. And again, I'm pretty impressed with those lines. So
a compliment when the reader can't pick a favorite. Then you must have did something right. Thank you, Sky. I appreciate that.
I know. I was like, here it is, and then somebody else is gonna. I left the beginning part alone, so somebody gave you guys some lines. I was kind of nice. Raconteur, what do you think?
It's one of those things. The idea of the song, but it's not like a traditional band and things like that. And bringing that into nature is absolutely stunning. It gives you a different feeling when you go into it, because you kind of, as I say, set the table, set the stage. When you go into it and you're talking about a song, and then everything you mentioned has a different feel to it, and the words come to life off the page with your descriptions. So between the two, you've got a whole concert going on over there. I could almost see the squirrels gathering around and humming and stuff like that. And maybe the beaver smacking his tail and playing the drums. Who the heck knows? But you got a whole thing going on over there, and it felt very, very Christmassy and very there's a lot of movement and a lot of sound and just it was lovely.
I'm glad you liked it. Thank you so much, Rack. Appreciate that.
Excellent. And Heather.
What beaver? I didn't hear no beaver in there.
You weren't listening.
I gotta ask you. Is this a structured start? Did you add a word in every line and then start taking them away on the second and the next stanza? I didn't count.
I don't understand the question. Say it again.
Okay, you start off with a certain count on the first line, and then the next line's one more word, and the next line's one more word, and the fourth one's one more word, and then the next stanza you start off with the same as the fourth line of the first, because I see a pattern on the back end of those, of this.
Okay, I get it now. No, my goal was the serrated look. See how it goes out, in, out, in?
Exactly.
I didn't count. I just wrote, and I need to swap a word here or there to make it fit my.
Okay.
Sometimes I want them to be pleasing to the eye, regardless of the word count.
I noticed it. It's very good, and I also you can take any one of these lines. You could I took the second line of each stanza, and read it. It works. You can take the first line of each stanza. So these lines are really interchangeable a lot of the way, except for one part, and I think you're describing something. But very well done. That was very good.
Thank you, Hatter. I have to look at that and see what you mean. I do that to other people's, but I didn't do it to mine to see. Because sometimes poems read better backwards than they did forwards. But
we don't get it out. Hate that. Evil poems.
Excellent comment. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad you were able to make it, Deb. And do you want to plug your show for Monday? I haven't plugged any shows, but I know you want to go, so I won't make you wait till I plug the rest of them. But do you want to plug your Monday?
Can you just do them all? Do mine when you do
the
other ones?
Perfectly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One thing, though, I kind of feel the urge to tell you that I think that you are an amazing person. I feel honored to be your friend and your co-host, co-worker, and I think that you deserve everything that the world has to offer you, and that anybody who doesn't see that is psycho. That's all I'm going to say. Love and respect.
Thank you, Deb. So have a good night.
Night.
Night. All right, I'm going to plug shows, and I already looked at her topic board for next week. So you know how I usually scroll down and I start talking about them? I still might because I did it briefly, but it might not be as bad. It might not be as bad, but I did take a peek. There are these really, I'm already starting. I'm not even doing it yet. All right, we're going to plug shows. Now, Hatter, do I have you till till 11 or? Oh, starting 10, 20.
I think you have me all night.
I'm probably going to have to go to 11:30. I don't really want to go to 11:30, but with all my clips, I might have to. We'll see. All right, so I'm going to play another clip. And then we're going to play your poem. But first, I'm going just because I like to do poem, clip. That way it kind of stretches out the poems a little bit between the clips. So I want to plug the shows before that, though. So tomorrow, Sweet Pea is on a vacation till February. So there is no show tomorrow. On Friday, it's Linda Liquid Damage Lounge. Linda goes live at 10. And she gave me a personal interpretation this week, and I happen to be house setting, so I'm going to be, like, free at night, and I think I might stop by if I'm still awake. So I haven't written anything new, but that's the great thing about open poetry. You can bring whatever you want. So join her at 10 o'clock in the Liquid Damage Lounge for open poetry, which is always really fun. And then on Saturday,
I have a theme for the last Friday of every month, and I needed a theme. I'm thinking comedy. That's something we need. But if you can think of something better, a theme, let me know, because I'm sort of thinking of what to do.
No, I think fun is good. I like to change it up. It's like my mood changes with the winds when it comes to themes. You know, I like to be free. Yeah. So 1 week I may be laughing, maybe the next week crying. So yeah. Do you want to talk about Saturday?
Yeah, I should start. Saturday, it's still open. We're just doing open poetry with A.P. Taylor, They Believe in Myself. So we'll get back to the prompts probably down the road. But just open poetry.
I'm house setting
Saturday night
as well.
All right.
So
we can count you in.
I've been going to bed.
If you're going to be house sitting, make sure you don't get shingles.
it's really puppy setting. I'm going to be taking care of the puppies at night while they're away. So. They're two beautiful dogs. All right, and
what
you go live at 9. Is that right, Hatter? One's a German Shepherd and one's a pit bull.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, they're so precious. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem.
They're rambunctious.
The houses
they're rambunctious.
Everybody's got dogs. They what?
Yeah, well... I said they're rambunctious. They're rescue dogs, but they're they're wonderful. Yeah. The shepherd, you know, we had to get to know each other for a little bit, but now he's like my favorite. Like I would take him home if I could. I just absolutely love him. All right. So then on Sunday, there's a Sunday night murder and mayhem, and let me pull that topic up. In JCA, why do geniuses become serial killers? What a topic. I think they're talking about Jeffrey Dahmer, an IQ of 144. So this should be fun. You want to talk serial killers?
Yeah, Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy also. Ted Bundy was
They had Edmund Kemper, 145, Carol Edward Cole, 154. Oh, Ted Bundy right here, 136. He was lower. He was lower than the rest. But Rodney Alcala, 170. So go check him out. He's going to be talking about. Yeah, I mean, there you go.
I've never taken it.
I probably would fail. I don't test very well. Probably fail. I've never taken an IQ test, but with testing with matching, I have a hard time. There was this test I had to take for this job, and I failed 3 times because they had matching, and I'm dyslexic, and I just couldn't do it. They were pattern matching things. It was like weird. I don't know, but they wouldn't hire anybody if they failed a test. So then, my friend was like, "You should tell them you're dyslexic," and so that they. And I'm like, "I don't want to do that." They're like, "Just tell them you're dyslexic, and you're having a hard time with this test." She's like, because she looked over my shoulder. She's like, "It's all patterns and matching and inverse." Things you're not going to be able to figure that out. It's fine, but yeah, I don't know. Have you?
In order to work for the county, for the fire department, or the position I was going for, I had to take a test. It took all weekend long. It was 2 days. It's like they answered like 1,500 questions the first day and 900 the second. And you had to pass the typing test. And they had the part of it was IQ, part of it was logic. And there's a name for it. There's a name for the standard test for federal or state positions. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I took it.
Well, I had to take tests for my job now. I had to go get... You know, and when I was in school, because I went to school for teaching, my average was pretty high. I think I had like a 3.8. And then when I had to take the test for my position now at the school, I did well, but I did not do well in math. Like my math was kind of low, but my reading comprehension score was one away from being perfect. And there was a lot of questions, so it bumped my whole average up because my reading comprehension score was so high. But I feel like, you know, that's definitely my strength is that reading. Even when I was in fifth grade, my reading comprehension was ninth grade because I did some testing back then. So when it comes to reading comprehension, obviously literature, I've always scored high, but math is hard for me because the numbers, you can't tell if you mess them up. You know, at least when I read, I can catch if I mess up some letters while I'm writing, I catch it when I reread it. And you can't do that with numbers. If you flip numbers in the middle of a problem, then that's it. You're the whole thing is wrong. So it's not as easy to catch mistakes, is what I'm saying. So math has always been just horrible.
Yeah, my IQ test, I've taken it I've taken the IQ test 3 times, and I don't remember a lot of math in it at all. There's a lot of pattern, a lot of logic, the long test that it took all weekend, there were some weird questions. They want to weed out the weirdos, I guess, because they ask the same question. Three different ways, and you're offended. Not, and you're offended each time they ask it. You go, "What the hell? I'm going to answer that." You know,
it was like
thought about killing your mother or your parents. No, hell no. What the hell are you talking? Are you asking me that?
That's weird.
What do you use a fork?
Yeah.
We're going to look into your moral values.
You if you've ever thought of it. Then they'll ask it again, but have you ever dreamed it? Then have you ever planned?
Well, here's the thing. So even if they scored you and you scored high, right, and JCA is saying all serial killers score on high, so maybe they're like, well, we can't take a test where they score high because that doesn't mean they're not serial killers. But
there was 300. They had like 300 applicants in the position I was going for, and I hit number 16. They hired the first 15, and I was number 16. I was really bummed, but I didn't know that the first guy that failed out, the first guy that washed out, I was getting the call, and I did. And I was really bummed when I found out I was number 16, and they were hiring the first 15.
Mm.
Did you want to kill the other 14?
So I
planned to. I dreamed of it.
Well, I read like the book a lot of. I used to really love reading about dream psychology, so I read some books when I was younger. And if I remember correctly, and yeah, I've always loved like I did really well in my sociology classes and my psychology and literature. I've always been good with those types of classes. Not mechanical writing. When I say English class, they always separated it. You know, there was a literature part, and then there was the spelling and structure. I always was pretty terrible at that, but I was always good at the literature part. Mm-hmm. But also psychology, and I really enjoyed it. But I used to read about this dream psychology, and if I remember correctly, if you dream about killing someone, it's because you feel guilty about something that you did to them, or it's the other way around. If they try to kill you, you feel guilty. I can't remember what it was now, but it was something about guilt. The action, if you dream about hurting someone, like, or stabbing somebody that you know, it's based around guilt. Just like if you have dreams about interpersonal relationships that are steamy, about a coworker, it's a sign of respect. It's not really actually because you want to be with them. It's because you respect something, a quality that they have, and your subconscious is reaching out to that in that kind of way. But it's actually underlining, it's not really, I'm attracted to that person. You're attracted to a trait they might have. And that's why some people have, like, dreams about, people in their lives that they respect, even if it's in a workplace. It's because they're holding qualities that you hold.
What's the nude in public?
How does that make you feel, the
dream?
Yeah,
naked in public.
I don't know. It's really cool. It's really. We should do something about it. I gotta plug my show though, and I gotta play my clip, and then we gotta do your tone. So, it's a cool topic. We should definitely delve into that, like on a show, maybe on when I get my down the tubes back up. And they're on a break right now because I want to get through some stuff, but and not a long break. But maybe we could do that for a down the tubes. That sounds fun.
Last Friday of the month, I'll have a show.
Maybe you can do that. I think it's a good conversation. All right. So then that loops back to Rack and Tour on Tuesday. I know we hit a little bit of a hiatus there. Rack and Tour, you want to plug your show for Tuesday?
It's going to be on Tuesday, but I don't know what it's about yet. So.
Green.
Right. I'm still waiting to be motivated on a topic. I'm one of those annoying people that, like, you know, it's not speaking to me.
He's waiting for inspiration. Okay. So, but it's going to be on a town on Tuesday. And that brings us back to storyboards on Wednesday. Yeah, and we are – well, it's funny you say that because I'm bringing that in March. So hold that thought I had her because I'm bringing that in the first week of March.
Really?
But next week – yeah. Next week is going to – yeah. Next week is going to be Tales of the Jedi, Star Wars Volume 29. And we are getting down to the end of this Star Wars thing that I've got going on for like 40 episodes. but we will be and it's going to be a really easy one because I'm not putting out, like, it was such a short show. I didn't really do character highlights because I've really highlighted all those characters. So I'm just saying, bring me any Star Wars poems. And if you don't have a Star Wars poem, then go and look at the quotes and bring me any poem that goes with the quote. So you don't actually have to be a Star Wars fan. Or if push comes to shove, you could just bring me a really geeky poem. That's absolutely fine, too. And that's next week. All right, I'm going to press play for this next clip, and then we're going to definitely do Hatter's poem, and we're going to go from there. So, I mean, I don't have too many clips. They are longer. So
I didn't read it. So I feel like I've read it already.
We've been talking so much. I know. I'm like, oh, my God, I got to start pressing these clips. We're going to be here till 1 a.m. All right, so let me press this clip, and we'll get in there. There we go.
Do you believe in magic, Mika? Because I don't think I do anymore. There was a time when you could prove that magic was true and real and amazing. It would be this one.
Boy? Mouse? Tree? Ball? Spoon?
Huh? Mika, you can talk.
Yeah, of course I can talk. And I can fly as well. Nah, just kidding. No mice can fly. That would be absurd.
So why didn't you speak before?
I was waiting until I could form a proper sentence. Which, with your one-word-at-a-time teaching system, did take forever. So, can we talk about something very important?
What's that?
Cheese. Does it exist?
I've never seen any. That doesn't mean I don't believe in it.
Yeah, well, I'd rather taste it than just believe in it. But, this is what you call a fire, is it? Is that his knife?
Nicholas felt doubt weighing him down. The quest out of reach.
Nicholas, what's wrong?
I tried to fight a beetle, but I couldn't.
The temperature plummeted.
So tired.
The air itself began to freeze. Nicholas's heartbeat slowed. Each breath an effort. He had done everything he could, but it wasn't enough. What do you think? Shall we leave it there tonight? It's getting late. I mean, I can come back next year. I'm just kidding. I'll crack on. Nicholas was lying there in the snow, frozen and forgotten.
Nicholas, wake up, please. Nicholas.
When suddenly there was a noise.
Do you hear that? Somebody's coming closer. Oh, there, here's the house. Nicholas, we're safe. No, we're doomed.
Look at his strange ears gone past.
Human ears can take a lot of getting used to.
He's a human. Will he eat us?
Oh, no, we're quite safe.
But what about what?
Well, we must always help those in trouble, even if they are human. Father Topo, Lucia's great, great grandfather. If you can believe that.
Why, Dad? No. Grandpa just worked in his little dream wick on you.
What's a dream wick?
Yeah, what's a dream wick?
A dream wick is a hope spell. I hoped for you to be strong and warm and always safe.
Always safe? It's impossible.
We never, ever say that word. An impossibility is only a possibility that you don't understand yet. But now we must get as far away from you as possible. And you must leave Elfhelm.
Elfhelm, the Elf Village. But I'm not even there.
You silly. We're standing at the bottom of the street of Seven Curves, the longest street in Elfhelm.
I'm sorry. We're in the middle of nowhere. There's just snow.
Is he blind?
He doesn't know how to see.
Wait. I've risked everything to find Elfhelm. You have to let me see it. Just once.
To see something. You must believe in it. Really believe. Go ahead. Try your hardest. See if you can see what it is you're searching for.
So the rumors are true. There are still elves that like to party.
Mother Vodal.
Quiet! Have we learnt nothing? Has the suffering of the past months made us not a jot wiser? Are the new rules to be completely ignored?
Your name's Mika, ma'am. Have you never seen a Max before?
I have. I wasn't addressing you.
My most humble apologies.
I'm Nicholas.
But it wasn't clear.
I'm human.
I see that too. I just don't believe it. Father Tobo, unless I'm much mistaken, which I never am, you were at the last council meeting.
Yes, I was.
It was at that meeting that the new rules for elves were introduced. The most important and least breakable being that no humans can ever, ever be brought here.
But I didn't bring him here.
I found him.
A whisker from death. So I performed a small hope spell.
A Drimwig. On a human. Who knows what powers you've unleashed?
Please. It was the only way I could save him. Let us remember the way things were before. We are elves. We use our powers for good.
What good is that when we are under attack? We must adapt. We must send a clear message that no outsiders are allowed here anymore. It was on this platform that I was elected holder of the staff. Ruler of Elfhelm.
In fairness, Mother Vodal.
Be quiet! Now, human, tell me why you came here.
I came to look for my father.
Your father?
Yes. He came to Elfhelm to try and find something magical.
She doesn't need to know that.
Did he travel by chance with a group of other men?
Yes. Have you seen him? Did he actually make it to Elfhelm?
Oh, he was here, all right. He was one of them.
What did you do to him?
I trusted him. We all did. And why not? A human had visited us once before. Too briefly. And has stabled us. For years we waited, ready to welcome any others who found their way to Elfhelm, to show them goodwill, which these men proved was just another name for weakness.
What are you talking about?
I'm speaking, of course, of poor little Kip.
Who's little Kip?
Little Kip's parents are here. You can ask them yourself.
Please tell me, what did these men do?
Speak after him!
They took our boy.
They kidnapped little Kip.
No.
He must be wrong. My father would never do such a thing.
And yet he did. Which is why at the election I put myself forward. With the motto, elves for elves. No more silly parties where we let our guards down. No more wanton carelessness. No more singing. And an outright ban on Spiegeldunst. No more kindness. No more joy. No more Christmas. Guard! Take him to the tower!
Move it!
All day the three friends searched over mountains, streams and lakes frozen solid. Somewhere in the vast wilderness, Nicholas hoped to find his father and solve the mystery of the lost elf child.
Who are you?
You're
Joel's son.
My father. Where is he?
Nicholas? It's you?
Papa. Papa.
How are you here?
I came to look for you. You didn't tell me you were going to kidnap an elf. You said you were going to find proof of elf help.
Yeah. What could be better proof? And a real-life elf, eh?
It must have made you do it, Papa. Please tell me that's what happened.
It's for our own good, Nicholas.
The king asked for hope. What's hope for about this? We can take the elf back to Elfhelm. Back to his home. The elves will be happy. They might even give you a reward. All of you. Being good is better than being rich, Papa. Better than anything. And if you've forgotten that, you've forgotten Mama. I'm getting you out of here, Kip.
Joel, get out of the way. He's my son.
He's trying to help the elf escape.
Then we'll tie him up, too.
Papa.
So tight, you can't run anywhere.
Papa.
Quiet.
After all.
Come on. take Kip back to Alville and keep going south.
Don't stop until you reach the cabin.
They're escaping!
Go, go, go!
They're getting away! Get up! Wake up, man!
Go south!
No, without you!
Everybody up!
You guys, there's definitely a spoiler alert always in my shows, and I'm going to tell you right now, I was all teary at that part, and I was watching it with my goddaughter, like I said, and she fell asleep right before that part, so I'm sitting there on the couch all alone, like all my eyes are all like, oh my God, his dad died too, I can't handle this, and then the next morning, when she realized that she fell asleep, she was like, oh, we need to watch the end of the movie, and then she made me watch it all over again. Like, not the whole movie, but just that part. And I'm like, listen, I need to walk away. I know what happens. I can't handle this right now. But it was very, very good. All right, Hatter, without further ado, please read your poem.
Okay, this is just a cold winter poem. So it's called Bittering Rain. And I think I made that word up. It goes like this. Watching the fog as it takes the night, crawling backwards from underground. Darkness feeds on gathered moons without making a sound. Tell the seer when he wakes from sleep, avoid the tales that cause the pain. Listen where the children weep amongst the bittering rain. Pick the fruit from the barren tree, then list and count the ways to pray for what will surely be the end of these hollow days. Always ruin the last line.
You don't ruin it. It's perfect. It's perfect. And this is very lyrical. I feel like it could be like a song. Like I think it was. I mean, it's not just because it rhymes either. I think it's because of the way that it was written. I mean, because you could say, oh, any poem that rhymes can be a song. That isn't it. And it isn't just because of the rhyme. I don't know why. It's very lyrical to me. I thought the crawling backwards from underground, I thought that was quite clever. Really liked that. And then where you go down to, I mean, there definitely is the idea of winter and the coldness. And it can often be put it as a metaphor. You know, Game of Thrones love doing that. Winter's coming. They don't mean actual winter. They mean war. And then, of course, you could say, I have a winter inside me. You could speak about an emotional barrenness and coldness that is stretching out from the inside, reaching out. So within all things of nature, I think people can connect emotion and experience with different seasons and different temperatures. And you've done that brilliantly here with this idea of listen where the children weep amongst the bittering rain, which I thought was really cool. I don't know if I've ever heard that term before. I don't think I have. So I've heard biting rain. So I thought that was really clever. I like when people can put twists on words and kind of make me see them in a different context, in a different way. I really enjoy that. And then, of course, you're saying pick fruit from the barren tree. So you're trying to, not you, but, you know, the idea of trying to, you know, find refuge and try to find solace and, you know, you think of fruit, you think of substance, right? So you're trying to find something to feed your soul, perhaps. And yet it's just, there's nothing there. So again, that metaphor was quite lovely. And, I thought it was quite brilliant. Thank you for bringing it. And
thank you.
Racketeer, what do you think? Thank you. I feel like I might have Raconteur.
Yeah.
Oh, what did you think about Hatter's poem?
Oh, I mean, Hatter, you know, he's got a way of almost hypnotizing him, as evidenced by my catatonic state.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, you fall into it, and I mean, not just the pattern, it's how you know about it, you know? It draws you in, and it's more than just the words. It's the mood and the form.
Thank you.
Excellent comment. Thank
you. That was back in my brevity days.
I don't know. I used to write really long poems, but I've been just doing brevity lately because, like, it's all I have time for. But I think we flux in and out, right? And I tend to do, when I do brevity, I tend to rhyme as well. Not all the time, but I tend to just do the, I don't know, maybe I blame it on all the Emily Dickinson I've been reading, but I've, I don't know, I just love her style. And a lot of my pieces lately, which is very few and far between right now, have been brevity rhymes. But it's just very lyrical. I don't know what it is about it. I don't know. I could feel it in a song, you know? I could feel it in my bones as a song. But really well done.
You know, I think when you're able to recognize redundancy in your pieces or something that's not necessary, when you start recognizing that, you can embrace the brevity.
Trim the fat,
and it'll show too, you know. But when you have a good long poem, and you got it going, the storyline, yeah, you got to go with it.
Yeah, I think that it's good to be, like, I really love diversity in poetry, and that's why I like form, free verse, one of the problems I had with trying to put a book together was, like, I have so many genres all over the place, and some of them sometimes interchange, and,
yeah.
But I like that.
Called chapters.
I like that idea. Yeah, and that was really where Dark Home came from, that idea, you know, when looking for a pen name, you know, I love Mystique from X-Men. And the thing about her is that her talent is to be able to morph and change into any other human, right? She could change her body. And the idea of being able to change poetry to fit different genres, I don't know, it paralleled to me. And, plus I love her character, but that idea of interchanging, but not in your body, but your thought process and how you write. Because I think some people, you know, not just with poetry, it's easy for people to stay with what they know, right? They want to stay in their comfort zone, and even me, not when I say they, me included. But with everything else, but when it comes to writing, I'm not like that. But with other things in life, I am. So I'm not saying I'm exempt of that either, but sometimes you've got to go out of your comfort zone and, you know, delve into different genres.
Yeah, it's a comedy.
And, Yeah.
So. Probably the people are real shy to try to attempt it.
See, I don't think I'm that funny. Like, a lot of people think I'm funny, like, in person. Like, I tend to be really a more serious person, except around kids. I'm really not serious at all, and I think that's why I like children so much, because they get me out of my own seriousness, I guess. But so when it comes to children's poetry, I feel freedom, and I can be playful and I can be funny. With that said, I don't have a lot of adult funny poems, but I don't mean like adult. I mean just like, you know, witty, like funny, like witty, not geared toward children, funny poems. I have very few and far between. Do I have one or two? Maybe, yes. But, you know, I read things that are really clever, and I'm like, oh, that's really clever and really funny, and like not for, like, adult appropriate, like it's adult humor. Like I said, like, and I don't know. I just don't, I always ruin the punchlines. Even when I say jokes,
It's subjective though, because the thing that comes to mind for me with humor is who's the one, like, if it's a dirty joke, who's the bigger, you know, pervert, the one that told the joke or the one that interpreted it? If you didn't see it, you know, there's an innocence there that some people just, you know, it goes over their heads. My mind wasn't going there. They don't think of you like that or whatever. And then there's other people, like, every other word, that they'll twist it and they'll be like, oh, that's dirty. Oh, you know, that person's, you know?
And when I said adult, I don't mean adult like that, but yeah, that as well.
I know.
but you know too, the thing is that I'm tend to be an over explainer by nature. So when I say a joke,
well, analytical.
I do. I don't know if you guys can tell that about me, but so what happens is I get so caught up in, Like I'll be on one topic and then I'll be on like five different topics and then I'll go back to the regular topic, and I can do that. I'll be going in a line and then I'll gear off with random facts about Snake Island and days of the week and gods, and then I'll go back to the regular thing. And then what ends up happening is that I do that during the joke. So by the end of the joke, the person's so
lost. Oh, I forgot one part.
Like,
yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now, and I don't understand. And then the only time I have concisive jokes, it seems my only concisive jokes are very nerdy jokes that no one gets anyway, because they don't watch Star Wars. They don't, you know what I mean? Like, they're not as big a geek as I am. So if I say a joke, they're like, yeah, I have no idea what that means. So,
well, that's
exactly
what you're straight about. The girl who couldn't tell a joke. Get rid of that. Like the boy who cried wolf.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But then he's in.
Okay. Oh. I'm going to press play for my next clip. Jack and Tor, if you have a poem, tell me now or forever hold your peace.
Oh, and in saying that, I just re-upped my minister's credentials. I'm a minister.
Oh, good.
I could marry you.
You've been ordained. Well, I'm not in California. So if Rackentor, if you do not have a poem, Hatter, I'm going to say we'll probably... And because I started a half an hour late, I have my clips here. And since you were so patient, if Rackentor does not have a poem, I'm going to have you could read one more because you were so patient in reading yours.
Oh, okay.
And,
you want funny one? You want funny?
Hold on. Rackentor, do you have something? Well, I'm actually might be able to get you both, but Rackentor, do you have something?
Okay.
Yes or no?
My Christmas poem's a big downer, so.
Okay, all right. Well, this poem this movie, I don't know if you noticed, is that first his mom died, now his dad died. You know, this kid is now an orphan. So it is a sad movie. So it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. And this is it's a movie to teach people how to deal with grief. You know, so it's fine. But you think about it and let me know, and I'll load it up. And how to find something.
Christmas stalking, stalking.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I have a serious Christmas one or funny. Christmas.
You can do a funny one, Hatter. Why don't we do? Well, I'll play the clips. I'll do Rack's poem, and then you could end us on a funny note. How's that sound?
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. I'm gonna press play.
Story I've ever heard.
Well, I haven't finished.
There's no way you can get the happy ending from here.
I don't have to. Happiness isn't compulsory, and nothing ever ends.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. But Aunt Ruth.
What is it, Muppet?
Poor Nicholas.
I know. The pain he felt was incredible. Grief is the price we pay for love. And worth it a million times over.
Nicholas. I'm so sorry.
But now the time had come for Nicholas to make things right. Bring little Kip back home to Elfhelm.
Words. I only ever had one toy. It was a turnip dog. My mama made it for me.
It's a very sad story. He ate it.
For some things we regret.
Only one toy.
Playing with it made me feel happy and loved.
It's more than any one kid needs. Wait.
What is it?
Could you make more? Lots, lots more.
Well, of course, but...
I'll need anything you have. Shiny things, stacking things, things that wind up. And I'll need to borrow this curtain, too.
Excuse me, are we kidnapping another elf?
No, bigger. Much, much bigger.
We're opening a curtain shop.
Right. Come on. And we haven't much time.
And I haven't much cheese.
No, why didn't you say so? I make my own.
Marry me.
See this, Mama. It's everything you hoped for.
The 5-minute warning, everyone. 5 minutes.
Freshly painted. Blue for peace, red for joy, green for wonder, and yellow because it makes my eyes tickle. Do you like it?
Is it a bit garish?
I think it's just perfect.
Love it. That reindeer's not going to drive itself, you know.
All right, everyone. It's time. We haven't got long. I can...
You're one of us now. We can't have you representing Elfhelm dressed all shoddily, can we? They look up to you, you know. Yes. We all do. And not just because you're so freakishly tall.
Ha!
Go on. Elfhelm's your home now. Get out there. Make us proud.
This is it. Thanks for everything.
Fly safely.
We got it from here. See you soon.
We're counting on it.
Stop! Oh, that human must not be allowed to leave Elfhelm. So he brought us back the little elf child. Hooray for that. But what is one boy when held against an entire community? We must not allow what we have gained to make us blind to what we may lose. Our home. Our culture.
My mother. She wore it all her life. Wandered into our village, tired and lost. We took her in. She was loving and kind and full of hope. She became our friend. My friend. The day the snows melted and she returned to her home in the south. Her pockets full of chocolates. That's where all my chocolates went.
As I recall, Demelza, there was a time you loved humans more than most.
She never did forget. My mother told me the story of Elfhelm every night. It was always with her. Lemmy. They called her Lumi.
Lumi.
The girls came, but couldn't stay long. My mother told me Elfhelm was the most hopeful, happiest place in the world. And it should be that again, especially on Christmas. In case she named me after. She called you. She called you Christmas.
We still have some time before the big day. We could make it the best one ever.
Ready, old friend?
Born ready. You met the ranger, didn't you?
Showed the king that it's not about the presents, although they are wonderful. It's about what's behind them.
Yes, what?
We give what we have to show that we care. And then we all share in the joy. Grow into hope, one house at a time, and spread throughout the land.
I ask for something new. You brought me something we've forgotten we already had. Thank you.
Well, good luck with it all.
Cheers. Where do you think you're going?
My work here is done, so...
Done? Done?
I've given you the idea. I've shown you how it works.
So now I suppose I must appoint someone to run it.
Great.
Great. When can you start? I hardly know you, but it seems to me that if anyone deserves the infinite joy of loving and being loved, it's you, my young friend. Besides, it's just one day a year. What shall we call it?
That's easy. Nicholas and Mika the Talking Mouse Day.
Any other ideas?
I'm flying on a reindeer and my mouth talks now.
Ta-da! And look, we brought our mate, the king.
Hello!
I just came back to tell you, magic is real.
It is, it really is.
Oh yeah! Check your pocket.
Was nearly empty of toys, but for Nicholas, the adventure was just beginning. And so it was that a king, a mouse, a reindeer, and a boy called Christmas disappeared back into the sky.
I just love Maggie Smith. Love it. All right, that is the end. It was a great film. I really recommend watching it. I know that I took clips, but I did leave key elements out of it, so something still will be a surprise if you do watch it. Obviously, his father's death won't be, but other things will be. And even so, it's very, very enjoyable. All right, Hatter, do you click on Raconteur's poem? It's up on the board.
Okay. Got it.
Do you got it?
Yep.
All right.
Yes, I did.
And then, all right, awesome. So I'm going to go ahead and I uploaded it during that time. So we have an audio.
Christmas Stocking by Raconteur. The ebony night concealed my presence among the emerald bushes outside the window in the yard, hoping to catch a glimpse of what was. The reasons leaving hit me so hard. I remember an evergreen standing resplendent in its place of honor, trimmed in quartz garland and poinsettia bows, its base swaddled in a ruby blanket laden with festive gifts, its top adorned with a brilliant sapphire star placed up there on tippy toes. The son I lost and daughter who learned to hate me, opening presents in periwinkle pajamas, jubilant around the tree. I once told them, I want to guard your dreams and visions, but I never knew leaving would become the mitigating factor in my decisions. A saline prism forms, tracing the edges of my cheek, glittering like jewelry, articulating the words I cannot speak. The sound of a motorcycle in the distance shook me from my reverie, eyes functioning as if coated in beeswax, reliving every memory. Cleaning my face, I slip away to prepare for the bleakness of tomorrow, promised by the emptiness of today. Headed home to cold sandwiches and beer, haunted by eyes that once adored me, but now radiate distrust of the dad they won't let near. End poem.
Yeah, you're right, Rack. This is really sad. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. This Hurt Locker, man. This Hurt Locker. I love the poetry in this Hurt Locker, the way that it, I mean, how can you say something so beautiful yet so painful, right? How could you say something to somebody, this is so beautifully written, but it's so painful to hear as well? And I think that's, I don't know, I think that's one of the beautiful things about poetry is that you're reading it and you're thinking this is such a beautiful poem, but yet it's ripping my heart out. And I guess that's how feelings could be too. When you come into the beginning with the descriptions of the trimmed quartz garlands and the poinsettia bows, especially the part about the tippy toes, I just was just completely enamored by the images. And then when you go further into what you're actually saying, what the story actually is, I mean, it is the reader, any reader, whether they can relate or experience to this experience. Like, I cannot relate to this experience, but I feel like, you know, within reading your words, I just completely consumed by this emotion. And I know that you had said it was sad, but it is a loss. Yeah, the boy in this film lost both his parents, but you're talking about losing your children. And, you know, when divorce happens, this has happened quite often. And people choose sides, and especially with children, they're so impressionable at that age. And unfortunately, sometimes that is abused to certain parents that have custody. So it's like an ugly mess. It really is. And the poem, like I said, it was absolutely moving. I think that's, you know, when people say that it's a beautiful poem, but it's painful, I think the word that really, that encapsulated it is moving, and it's definitely, beautiful, beautiful written and moving. Very, thank you for bringing it. And I totally think it is on par for tonight's show. So don't ever feel bad about bringing me a sad poem. I have lots of sad poems, too. Hatter, what do you think?
I can relate to this. The son I lost and the daughter who learned to hate me. I once told them, I want to guard your dreams. You know, it's not always the one that leaves. Whatever household the kids are living in, the other side is usually the villain, the one that left. Oh. Can you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Doing donuts.
I heard your comment. I don't hear any background stuff.
No. Yeah. Guys doing, they're doing, she's on the highway just doing, God. Okay. It is a sad poem. And it's too real. At some point you go, well, when they grow up, they'll come find me. Don't count on that. If it ever happens to you. But very moving track. Good job.
Thanks, Hatter.
Thank you, Raconteur. And Hatter, did you put your poem on the board? We got 4 minutes, so we're going to read this.
Okay, real quick. I'll just put it up.
We're going to lighten the mood a little bit. After Rack destroyed by soul of poetry.
Okay.
Let's just talk about the Snowman poem for a minute. What?
My best attribute.
All right.
Attributes.
Okay. All right, go ahead, my friend.
Okay, I was hired for a trial. I was hired for a trial to wear nothing but a smile, to stand before a class bearing my lily white ass so they could draw my nakedity. I would pose alone, frozen to the bone, then all become a god to some, like a gladiator in a Roman-type movie. I walked to the stage still a little afraid, showing off my best attributes. Then I heard a giggle about something that jiggled a voice that came from the group. With my pride still intact, I never looked back. I now have a new profession. Call it dumb luck. I make the big bucks as long as I can stand at attention. Ba-dum!
What is that, like the drum roll? I mean, not the drum roll, but the what is that? The cymbal, the drum and the cymbal, right? I could hear it in my mind.
Yeah.
So this is the thing, too, and this is a lay in that laugh because it, like, sometimes it also, not only am I bad at telling jokes, sometimes it takes me a minute to get the joke. You can ask Rack for it. And then even if I get it, I don't always laugh out loud. And Rack's like, I guess it wasn't funny. I'm like, no, it's funny. I'm smiling. So, you know, I don't. It's because I'm too busy processing. I can't laugh and process at the same time. This is fun. This is fun. And I hope you do a comedy one because this is really funny. You're clever. I really appreciate cleverness. There are a lot of things that I know, like information and random facts, but I'm often like when I, and the reason why I'm relating it to me is because when I look out to people and I place myself around my friends, I'm often drawn to people that excel in things that I may not excel in. I don't know why, just because I admire that about them. But one of the things that I do admire in other people are their witty, how quick people can be with their wit to process all their information that they know to hit that nail, to hit that timbre, you know, to hit the cymbal really quick without even missing a beat. And my brain does not function like that. It may know stuff, but it cannot interchange things and find the funny, humorous aspect as quickly as a very witty person can. And so when I experience that, I think it's I just admire it. I think it's so fun, and I tend to place myself around those people because I enjoy it so much. I enjoy that type of personality. So this is really fun, and thank you for bringing it. Rack and Tour, what do you think?
I don't know that that's your best attribute, but it's up there, I guess, huh?
Seems to be.
Awesome. All right, I'm going to take that as your comment. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We are off air. Look at Rack and Tours like, I don't want to get yelled at. I like how you paused a little bit. PG-13, you could say that. And when I do the Spaceballs show, I'm just saying in May when I do Spaceballs, it is PG-13 film. So I'm playing the clips, and they're going to, you know.
I love Spaceballs.
There's going to be some funny dark humor. Good. Then come to the show in May. The first week of May, that's when we're doing it. I want to say thank you to, and I'm so excited, and I think this worked out. I closed off some space between me and that little baby, and he has just slept. This is the first show he slept through, so I think it's going to work out doing that. And I want to thank, who do I want to thank? I want to thank Racketeer, Hatter, Deborah Lee, for all calling and contributing to tonight's show. And I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope that you enjoy the clips, because I like to make those clips. I have to watch the whole movie again, and then I have to record them, and then I have to figure out what I want to record. So it's actually, and I have to find time to do that where there's no background noise of, you know, anything
else. Have you tried just going on YouTube? A lot of times they'll just put little scenes.
Sometimes I do that, but yeah. So sometimes I do that, but they don't often have the story that I want to capture. So sometimes I'll do that, but if they don't have like every clip, and if it's a newer film, they're not going to really have that. And I tend to like the story.
Yeah.
If you noticed, all the clips that I had was her when she spoke telling the story. Was heavily into that, and that's what I like, the storytelling. So sometimes I can do that, Hatter, and that's a good idea, but a lot of times they don't encompass what I want to encompass. So I really hope that you enjoy the clips, because I know I do, so I hope that you guys do as well. And that ends Christmas, right? And I have to make a revision. Yeah, and I have to make a revision. Rack and Tour, your show isn't next week. It's the week after. This is a long month because you're the last week of the month, right?
That gives me extra time to be confused, yes.
Yeah, so it is the 30th. So I actually picked up the 23rd and the 24th, so I'm on twice next week. And both shows are going to be Star Wars because I'm kicking these Star Wars out. Yes. So I'll be Tuesday and Wednesday, and then Rack and Tour, you're the 30th. So I'm like, wait a minute, something's wrong here. And that's the revision. All right, well, thank you guys so much. I'm going to go get some sleep. I'm up way past my bedtime. And
okay.
I have a closeout song, so you could stick around for that, but I'm just going to close out the studio after it ends. So good night for now. All right?
All right.
Hi.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.